What I want to talk to you this morning about is the word legacies. Or, in essence, what kind of legacy do you want to leave behind? What kind of legacy do you want to leave behind? Yeah, any of you remember that pizza commercial, Tombstone Pizza? What do you want on your tombstone? Dud. Maybe that's a Canadian thing. Do they have those here? Tombstone Pizza? Okay, good. All right. And of course, the interesting thing about that commercial, it's a play on that, it's a play on that thought and that idea, that phrase of what do you want written on your tombstone? Literally. Which I'm not sure how death and pizza go, but anyway. The commercial does remind us of the deeper question. After I die, how do I want to be remembered? After I die, how do I want to be remembered? You know, a lot of us who have lost loved ones in recent years and in the past, you know, a lot of thought goes into what we have put on those headstones. Because we want folks to be remembered. And we want them to be remembered well. But the reality is, based on a lot of the folks that we know and how we live our lives, some of them might go like this. Here lies John. He worked really hard, and his children missed him a lot. Here lies Sally. She worried and fretted about her kids and took lots of medication. Here lies Fred. He basically didn't care about anyone but himself. I mean, you know, I'd be horrified at the idea of these things being written on somebody's gravestone, on somebody's headstone. But the reality is, there are folks, you know these people. You may have been related to some of them. Here lies Susan. She intended to go do a bunch of stuff that she never got around to doing. The names I just kind of picked out of the air. Here lies Tom. He had a lot of money. Woo, Tom. Here lies Linda. She was really famous a few decades ago. And we could go on and we could go on. But when I walk through the cemetery and I see the stones, and I see how some of them were designed, and I see some of the interesting words and the verses and the messages, it reminds me of the fact that a lot of us are very aware of our mortality and how we often don't think that hard about what we're going to leave behind. What people say about us is part of that. But what we leave behind, what legacy we leave behind, is even more important. The Apostle Paul in Acts 13:22 recounts what God said about David. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." Now, if I knew that someday after I die and pass on, and somebody felt like it was appropriate to write on my tombstone, "He was a man after God's own heart," I think I'd be really satisfied with that. You know, to have God himself say, "I have found David, son of Jesse, to be a man after my own heart." I mean, what kind of eulogy is that? The God of the universe. And we know David made mistakes. We know it. We can read about it. But in spite of all of that, in spite of everything, God says, you know, when it really came down to it, David was a man after my own heart. So really that deeper question then, what do you want on your tombstone? The deeper question of how do I want to be remembered really is the question which is the title of this message. What kind of legacy will I leave behind? Interestingly enough, I picked up a board game a few weeks ago. This was something, what's the problem? Oh, board game, sorry. I picked up a board game a few weeks ago, consequently using that Amazon gift card that some of you contributed to. And I don't know if any of you have memories of playing the game Risk. Anybody ever play Risk? You know, you have the world map and you have your little armies and you roll dice. It can be a lesson in dice futility. I remember playing with my dad and my cousin. They destroyed me. Kind of like whenever I played chess with my dad. They would destroy me. But I would play Risk, and I would keep playing and keep trying to win, and I would try to amass my troops, and I would try to strategize, and it was for naught. Well, part of the reason I picked up this new version of Risk, in spite of the fact that my memories of Risk they're not good memories, is I was talking to Ryland about it, I was talking to Joe, I was talking to Barth, James, is an interesting twist on the game of Risk. In this particular version, you play a sequence of 15 games, and actions that you take in the earlier games have consequences and effect on the later games. At one point in the game, you might actually take one of the cards, like Brazil or China, and rip it up and remove it from the game. Like, you're actually supposed to do this. There are stickers you put on the cards that make certain countries more valuable. There are certain countries where, after an attack, you might put a sticker and it's radioactive and you can't go there anymore. And by the time you're done, the whole board has changed, the rules have changed. Somebody who won a game, the third game, might have a disadvantage in the fifth game, and vice versa. The game is called Risk Legacy. I thought the interesting thing about that is it reminds us that, you know, and usually in board games, when you're done and you put everything away and you start over. I now have a board game that was designed to be written on, marked on, and destroyed. I'm not sure how I feel about that. But it's such an interesting idea that in game one, something that I do has a consequence in game nine. It reminds us that this game is almost designed to work a little bit more like life. You can't just make a decision here and expect it not. There's no reset button for life. Just like this game, there's no reset button for this game. It's a reminder that how life has no reset button. And your life will be a legacy. And decisions that you make today will have an effect next year and 10 years from now. Decisions you made 10 years ago, you know, are having an effect right now. That being said, I'm looking forward to playing the game with the guys and see how it pans out. I'll give you a report later. But I'm reminded of an old Steve Green song that I think you can even find the chorus of it in the Blue Hymnal. It's this. May all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. May all who come behind us find us faithful. I'm kind of, those words really affect me a lot. To think about my life and what I want my life to mean to people who come after me, who see my example. Will people read about what I've done? Will my fire, will my devotion light their way? Will my footprints lead people to believe and inspire them to obey God? Really, the only thing I can be concerned about is whether or not people see my life and see that I'm faithful. The definition of the word legacy is this: something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor or from the past. Wow. Something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor, someone who came before, or from the past. And in a way, that's what we're trying to do with our Christianity, with our relationship with God. We're trying to pass something on that isn't physical, it's not tangible. It can't really be taught. It has to be caught. It can only really be viewed by example and experienced by the Holy Spirit. Is that the legacy that you desire to pass on? Is that the legacy that you're going to be able to pass on? So my question for you today is this. Ask yourself, am I legacy-minded or am I just self-minded? That's your first blank. Am I legacy-minded? Or am I self-minded? What do I mean by that? Well, are you concerned primarily with the present moment? Is that where you're living, in the present moment? Or do you live your life each day with eternal investment in mind? Are you wrapped up in the now? Or are you constantly thinking, you know, every choice I make, whether on purpose or inadvertently, is going to influence eternity? How am I going to live my life? You see, the truth is this. Your life will influence people whether you want it to or not. Your life is going to influence people. How your life influences people, that's up to you. That may be a harsh truth, but it's a true truth. Because one way or another, your life is going to influence. But it's up to you how your life is going to influence. Last week, I read this scripture in Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This verse is a lot about the legacy that the great cloud of witnesses that went before has left behind, and how their example, even though they may not even be here with us in bodily form, continue to cheer us on, and how we're to remember what Jesus did for us and the legacy that he built, and to be inspired by his example. My encouragement to you today is become one of those great cloud of witnesses and inspire the next generation. Here's my first point. As followers of Christ, oh, it did that thing again where my margins are messed up. Okay, you know what? When the words don't line up, try not to let it be distracting, okay? They just won't line up. Okay. As followers of Christ, we're part of an amazing legacy that must be passed on to the next generation of believers. I could fix it, but it would take a couple minutes, and we don't have time. As followers of Christ, we are part of an amazing legacy that must be passed on to the next generation of believers. We don't have a choice. And who are the next generation of believers? Well, some of them may not even be believers yet. But in your mind, there are people that have to have this truth passed on. And it may be a truth that you haven't yet fully grasped yet. But if we don't do it, the church is gone. You know, one of the things that motivated Ron Luce to start the Battle Cry Acquire the Fire movement for the teenage generation was because statistically, when they did their research, only about 4% of teens claim to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And they realized if only 4% of teens who claim to know the Lord are running our country in another 10 or 15 years, what is our country going to look like if only 4% of people running our country claim to know the Lord? I mean, we got people that claim to know the Lord running our country. They're not doing such a good job as it is. And the percentages are a lot higher. So the reality is something's got to be done to bring more teens to a knowledge of Christ. We want there to be a next generation of believers. You know what I'm saying? Ephesians 4, 1 through 6 says this, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." Live a life worthy of the calling you've received. That means your actions matter, folks. Sorry, they do. They matter. And they matter more than just on Sunday. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Not just on Sunday. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Not just on Sunday. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. That's a good legacy. And this reminds us, number two, that how we live our lives will determine the effectiveness of the legacy we leave behind. How we live our lives will determine the effectiveness of the legacy that we leave behind. I'm sorry, as a parent, how many of you know that the whole do as I say thing doesn't work if you're not doing what you say that you want them to do? You know, it's kind of hard to stand there with a cigarette on this side, tell the kid, "Don't smoke or I'll kick your butt." Really, Dad? I mean, come on, you know? You know, if I ever catch you drinking, you know. Anyway, it just doesn't work when we're not living that example. You know, if we go around the house and our language is foul, why are we surprised when the kids have foul language? When we engage in outbursts of wrath and anger, I hear my own kids do stuff. You know, I heard Elena one day, she was doing something and she went, grr, you know, and I was like, okay, that's me when I'm doing a project. Okay, I need to razzle, frazzle, frazzle, ratson, razzle, consarn it. Okay, anyway, that's fine. The kids, they no matter how hard we try to teach them to behave, they end up doing exactly what we do. Exodus 34, 5 through 7. "Then the Lord came down in the cloud," and this is interesting. This verse is a very cautionary reminder of the consequences of sin and our own behavior. The Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with them and proclaimed his name, the Lord, and he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. What is this a reminder of? You can't sin in a vacuum. Next slide. You can't sin in a vacuum. What do I mean by that? I don't mean a vacuum cleaner. I mean, a lot of people think they can sin and it doesn't have an effect on anybody else. But there's a spiritual butterfly effect that happens. You can't sin and expect it not to have a vast continuing repercussion. There are vast continuing repercussions for sin. Remember that your legacy, in fact, can be a negative one. Wow. So much for my slides. It's all right. Gives me a chance to fix them for tonight. For some reason, after I save my slides, every once in a while, the margins that I have established, they just go away. I blame Microsoft. Microsoft Windows. Sorry. I know it. I'll get a call from Bill Gates. I'm sorry, what did you say in your sermon? Why won't my Windows computer boot up? Big smiley face. Okay, anyway. You can't sin in a vacuum. You can't sin. You can't expect it to not have continuing repercussions. The reminder in Exodus 34 is that, you know, your sin can have consequences to the third and the fourth generation. Not necessarily because God directly punishes somebody else for your sin, but because those consequences remain. You know, alcoholism gets passed on. Addictions get passed on. Negative attitudes get passed on. You know, that's part of what CR is about too. You know, the idea that maybe I myself didn't engage in a particular behavior, but I was so drastically affected by that behavior that I'm a living consequence of my dad or my grandpa's sin. It's reality. And the choices that you make are going to affect your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids. And I pray that it's not negative. Because our negative behavior can have vast repercussions. 2 Kings 17, 38 through 41. Do not forget the covenant I have made with you. Do not worship other gods. Rather, worship the Lord your God. It is he who will deliver you from the hand of all your enemies. They would not listen, however, but persisted in their former practices. Even while the people were worshiping the Lord, they were serving their idols. To this day, their children and grandchildren continue to do as their fathers did. Wow. Same thing. So in deep theological speak, point four is this. Monkey see, monkey do. I know it. I got it from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. No, I don't. This applies to your kids as well as people you mentor. And again, this can have an effect on more than just your children. People that you mentor, whether you realize you're mentoring them or not. There are people watching you. If you're a follower of Christ and you say you're a follower of Christ, there are people watching you. And whether you realize it or not, you are a mentor to some, and they will copy what you do. And like I said before, no matter how hard you try to train your kids to behave, they're going to end up acting just like you do. I'm going to read you a really long scripture now from Deuteronomy 28. 14 verses, but I think this will be encouraging to you. We want to talk about the power of a positive legacy. We've talked about the power of negative repercussions and why we want to be careful. But I want to give you something else to focus on, something to do instead of not just trying to do the negative. Deuteronomy 28. If you fully obey the Lord your God, notice the word fully, and carefully follow all his commands, notice the word carefully, I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you an oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work in your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. The blessings of God are abundant, but they require some action and some attitude and sometimes some hard work. But based on this description, they're sure worth it. That being said, living out God's legacy then has far-reaching positive generational consequences. Just like the negative can have repercussions that carry from generation to generation, living out God's legacy can have far-reaching positive generational consequences. People talk about generational curses. I want to start generational blessings. It's like, you know what? My kids grew up and I was blessed just because my dad was a man after God's own heart and I couldn't help it. That's what I want. Galatians 5, 16 through 25. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, Paul's given us some advice on what to do so that we won't do the stuff that we don't want to do. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. And I know none of you can relate to this at all, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And the reminder is this. Only the Holy Spirit can give you the power to live out the legacy that God has called you to live. There's a certain amount of willpower you're going to be able to employ, but that's not going to last for very long. This is something you got to tap into the Spirit of God. The only way that he's going to help you to live the kind of life that is going to impact those who watch you and impact those who come after you. In closing, let me read the words to this song one more time. May all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. May all who come behind us find us faithful. And that's all we can do. And if we do that, I know that one day God will be able to look at us and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come today on this Back to Church Sunday, Bless Our School Sunday. So many things that we have to be thankful for. But God, as I think about praying for teachers and staff in our schools and the students attending the schools, and I think about this message, I think about the fact that, God, our lives matter. They matter to you, and you want them to mean something to those around us. And I pray, Father, in our hearts, you'll give us a vision of what it means to live out the legacy that you have called us to live, that our examples might serve as inspiration to those who see us. God, there's so much hopelessness and despair and discouragement all around. I pray, God, that our lives will serve as a beacon of hope and a beacon of encouragement and a beacon of inspiration to people who would all but have given up had they not seen you living in us. And that's what I desire more than anything, God, for people to see you living in us, that we might bear the legacy, live that life worthy of the calling that we have received. There's so much that you want to do through us, God. I pray that we would be found faithful. Like David, being a man or a woman after your own heart, doing everything that you've called us to do, that our lives might inspire. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, look at the person next to you and say, inspire, don't perspire. No, wait.